நாவயம் தாமயர்த்தைக்ய சிதாகந்தரபசாரணை நாஸ்பிருஷ்ட பூர்வம் ச நிமோ லோகேஷைஷ்ச குதோந்திரிபி. What to speak of human beings? Even the demigods, demons, siddhas, gandharvas, charanas, and the various directors of the universe, the prajapatis, have never touched you before. It is not that we are unable to understand your identity. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even the asuras observe the etiquette that no one should address a married woman with lust. The great analyst Chanakya Pandit says, Matrivat Paradarishu, one should consider another's wife to be one's mother. The asuras, the demons, took it for granted that the beautiful young woman, Mohini Murti, who had arrived before them, was certainly not married. Therefore, they assumed that no one in the world, including the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, and the Siddhas, had ever touched her. The demons knew that the young girl was unmarried, and therefore they dared to address her. They supposed that the young girl, Mohini Murti, had come there to find a husband among all those present, the Daityas, the demigods, the Gandharvas, and so on.
நூனம் த்வம் விதினா சுப்ரோ பிரேஷிதாசி சரீரணம் சர்வேந்திரியா மனா பிரீதம் விதாதும் சாக்ரனேனகிம்.
O beautiful girl with beautiful eyebrows, certainly Providence, by His causeless mercy, has sent you to please the senses and minds of all of us. Is this not a fact?
Sattvam nasparthamananam ekavastu nimanime gyatinam bhadavairanam samvidatsva sumatyame.
We are now all engaged in enmity among ourselves because of this one subject matter, the container of nectar. Although we have been born in the same family, we are becoming increasingly inimical. O thin-waisted woman, who are so beautiful in your prestigious position, we therefore request you to favor us by settling our dispute. Report. The demons understood that the beautiful woman had attracted the attention of them all. Therefore, they unanimously requested her to become the arbiter to settle their dispute. Is a very wonderful example. Which we can all learn from. How people in this material state of consciousness on the basis of their sense gratification are constantly making arrangements for unity, and also on the basis of sense gratification and greed for that sense gratification, there is great disunity. The demigods and the demons, who are naturally inimical toward one another, were agreed to unite, to become one for the sake of churning the ocean of nectar by which they can achieve nectar. This amrita, this nectar, was a promise of a very profound quantity of sense enjoyment. Everything that we are looking for through our physical senses is greatly magnified by the taste of this sweet nectar. it will produce a very long, long life with tremendous health, physical beauty. The taste of the nectar conquers the mind. And not only that, but it invigorates the senses in such a way that they have a tremendous, tremendous capacity to enjoy far, far more pleasure through contact with all the different objects of the senses. In the heavenly planets, we can imagine the quantity of sense enjoyment that they have achieved by their pious acts. And the demons, by their manipulation of the material nature, they were able to even conquer the heavenly planets in this particular instance and enjoy the pleasures therein. In this earthly planet, sense enjoyment is something very, very small. It is a very petty thing compared to the sense enjoyment of the heavenly worlds. But although people are striving, struggling with the promise of happiness for a little more sense enjoyment, a little more wealth, a little more worldly opulence in this world, such an illusion that those who attain the heavenly planets, who have achieved millions and millions of times more opulence, more position, more sense enjoyment, even they are not fulfilled in their desires. Otherwise, why would they be so anxious for this pot of nectar? In other words, they are still longing for more. Whether you are on this earth or whether you are in the heavenly worlds, everyone is thinking, by the illusion of Maya, if only I had a little more sense gratification, a little more material opulence, a little more positioning within society of fame and distinction, then I would be happy. But there is no end to this. Like fire, these material desires burn and burn, and the more fuel you give, the more it burns. This is a very, very great lesson. Why the demigods and demons who had achieved what would be considered the ultimate sense enjoyment for the people of this world, they are willing to work so hard, engage in so many austerities for the nectar, because they are still not satisfied. They are still searching for more. And on the basis of this longing for material life and the pleasures therein, even the greatest enemies who are opposed in all respects were willing to unite, to superficially become friends, because it was required that their united efforts could bring about a higher position of sense gratification. In the world today, for those who are acquainted with the current events, I believe one of the countries in the Middle East, Iraq, has created a great threat to the sense enjoyment of all other nations of the world. They are with the large armies. They are threatening to overcome smaller and weaker nations. They have already succeeded in the recent past, threatening that little by little by little, they will conquer more and more in the world. And of course, the world situation, they are thinking, just like Indra, when Vishwamitra Muni was attaining too much mystic power, that if he becomes too powerful, he will steal our abode also. Therefore, Indra sent Vishwamenaka to try to somehow or other destroy the position of Vishwamitra. It is not that Indra was thinking selflessly in this particular occasion. He was thinking of protecting I and mine. I am this body and this abode is mine. So similarly, we find that the nations of the world who really have no friendship in the field of politics, there's really no friendship. It is all just who can use one another the best to secure their own position of sense gratification in this world. Essentially, that is all politics is about. That I have my sense gratification, you have your sense gratification. If my sense gratification is better fulfilled by me destroying you, we are enemies. And if my sense gratification is better fulfilled by befriending you, then we will join forces. And arm in arm, we will work together. So all these nations, many of them hate one another. They are joining hands in hands to unite to protect the common interest of their material enjoyment. And therefore, they have united against enemy. But then, if some other circumstance comes before them, those same united forces become completely disunited and they fight and quarrel. Just like we see in India, how it is that so many of the different parties of India united in order to get the British away. But after the British left, these same parties that were so united became utterly disunited because they wanted to divide up what they had conquered, and they each wanted as much as possible for their own prestige and their own power and their own control. And therefore we have the partition and so forth. So this is the power of material attraction. That it brings people together and it divides people. The demons and the demigods became one. They united forces for the nectar. But as soon as the nectar came, immediately they became enemies again. The demons said, "This is for me," and the demigods wanted it for themselves. And then the demons got it. One side, one army, they got all the nectar. And then within the army, they became completely disunited. Because each member of the army of the demons were thinking it should only be for me and no one else. And then they were fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. Who will get the best sense enjoyment? They united to get it and they disunited who to drink it. This is the ways of the world. And then when Mohini Murti, the divine form of Sri Vishnu, as the most beautiful of all women, when she appeared, they could understand that her beauty is so illustrious that the sense enjoyment that is derived through her is even greater than this nectar. So therefore, in order to please her, they all united again, thinking that if we unite and we become peaceful and we cooperate with her, then she will choose only me to enjoy. So again, they are superficially agreeing. Yes, 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 no more fighting. We are all united under you. You are our leader. Whatever you do with the nectar is up to you. But we know that you are especially fond of me. Mohini Murti had this mystic power because she was none other than Vishnu avatar. She had the mystic power to be in the assembly of all the demons and make every demon think that she is only looking at him. This is a very different type of leela than the rasa dance, but the same type of opulence. When Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the forest of Vrindavan, he was between each and every gopi, and each gopi was thinking that Krishna is only with me. He's only looking at me. He is only smiling at me. He's, of all the gopis, his causeless mercy, so special, he's showing his kindness upon me.
And each and every gopi was thinking like that. Similarly, in Jagannath Puri, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing at the Rath Yatra, there were 7 parties of kirtan. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself in each of the 7 parties, and he was dancing very gracefully, very beautifully. And each party was thinking that how fortunate we are that of all the parties, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left all of them, bereft them of his association, just to be with us. He's only with us. And each member of the party, of that party, was thinking that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he is casting his merciful, beautiful glances upon me. And each person in every party was all thinking just like that. This is the inconceivable opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this world, if many people love someone, if that person shows too much attention to one person, other people become envious. Why? Why he is showing so much attention to this person and not me? Huh? That is because we are all jivatmas. But Krishna is so magnificent that he can show complete affection, complete attention to everyone, and completely satisfy everyone's heart, if he so desires. We cannot do, because we are jiva, but he is paramatma. So in this way, Mohini Murti, in her beautiful form, she has conquered the minds of all the asuras. She has put them all under the unconquerable spell of sex attraction. And therefore, they are helpless. They are helpless before them. Their senses, their minds are completely conquered. Sleeping in Bhagavatam class is very offensive. So you should all stand up. If you have the slightest inclination for sleep, you should stand up. Mohini Murti, how much the opulence of the Lord of beauty is conquering the minds of the asuras. So therefore, although they were fighting, battling, ready to kill each other over who got the nectar first, they all thought that if we just unite and please her, she will become mine. Huh? It's not that they were united thinking that, Mohini Murti will be so wonderful that she will fulfill all of our desires. No, they did not care about the others. They were thinking if we all unite superficially, although we hate each other, even though we're in the same army, although we hate each other, if we unite superficially and we appear to be intimate, then Mohini Murti will be pleased upon us, and there is no doubt amongst all of us she will choose to be my wife alone. So therefore, with the promise of sense enjoyment, they were fighting. And for the promise of sense enjoyment, now they are united. So in this material world, we understand that everyone is existing simply in the spell, under the spell of material enjoyment. And friends and enemies in this world are simply based on the exploitation of the resources of material nature. What is most efficient? What is most conducive to my own selfish desires fulfillment? But Krishna consciousness is something that is transcendental to the the unity and disunity of material life. Just like Srila Prabhupada used to say, you can show your love for me by how much you are willing to cooperate. Now, what does this cooperation mean? On the basis of our own selfish interests, there is always in this world the tendency for quarrel and hypocrisy. In India especially, we find that even families, wealthy families, and the basis of sense enjoyment being the object between them, they become enemies. In fact, Maharaj Parikshit told Kali that you cannot live in my kingdom. Kali said, give me some place, I have surrendered to you. Maharaj Parikshit said, you can live wherever there is intoxication, gambling, meat eating, and illicit sex. Kali said, but these things do not exist in your kingdom. So he said, Maharaj Parikshit, wherever there is the greed for gold, you can be there. Material opulence. Gold is the means of material sense enjoyment of all varieties, or wealth. So, Kali, quarrel and hypocrisy is ever present in money, in wealth, in the greed for these things for our own personal interests. And therefore we find if opulence, wealth, or material fortune is the object in which we unite, then at any moment we will fall victim to quarrel and hypocrisy. Because quarrel and hypocrisy is the very, very potency of Maya, of Kali. So in Krishna consciousness, we must be very, very careful, very cautious, that we are uniting only on the basis of the principle of Krishna's pleasure, not our own pleasure. Krishna's pleasure is only served when we are obedient to the order of Guru. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. It is explained herein that if Krishna, pure devotee, the spiritual master, is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. But without pleasing the spiritual master, there is no means of pleasing Krishna. So therefore, devotees are uniting exclusively on the basis of service to Guru, how to please spiritual master. Whether we like each other or hate each other, we do not care. We are coming together on the basis of how to best serve the mission of our spiritual master. In this way, our unity is sanctified, spiritual. It can actually develop into love. How does it develop into love? Because through this austerity, through this sacrifice of uniting on the basis of serving the interest of Guru, through this sacrifice, Krishna is pleased. And he gradually gives us more and more of the realization of love of God. And when love of God is within your heart, naturally you will love your God brothers and God sisters who are helping you in so many ways to love God. Srila Prabhupada used to say that this is a movement based on the principle of love and trust. As long as the slightest selfish interest is between us, there can be no love and trust. It is the love and trust of the materialists, which means whatever best serves my purposes is whether I choose to be united or disunited. My friend, my enemy, the same person, just depending on the condition. Love and trust in Krishna consciousness can only be when we put aside who you are and who I am, what you want and what I want, where you've been and where I've been. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Brahmin and I'm a Shudra. It doesn't matter if you're a sannyasi and I'm a grihastha. It doesn't matter if you're coming from a very wealthy background and I'm coming from a very poor background. It doesn't matter if you're educated and I'm uneducated. It doesn't matter if you're from this caste and I'm from another caste. These are all material distinctions based on bodily conception and sense enjoyment. It does not matter whether you have this propensity and I have this propensity. It doesn't even matter if I think it should be done this way and you think it should be done that way. All these relative materialistic conceptions must be just driven out of the picture. We are uniting only for one purpose and one purpose alone, that it is our Guru Maharaj's desire that to fulfill his desire, to help with the progress of his compassionate mission of establishing Krishna consciousness within society, we are willing to put aside all differences and surrender to him. That unity is the unity of Vaikuntha, the unity of the spiritual world. And as soon as any other desire comes into the picture, immediately Kali is between us. Right there. Very, very cleverly. Trying to make all sorts of arrangements on a subtle, gross, on every level to create quarrel and hypocrisy between us. What does hypocrisy mean? Hypocrisy means suspicion. Love and trust are completely the opposites of quarrel and hypocrisy. Love means union, does it not? It's like the grossest conception in material life of love is physical union. And in spiritual life, love means union between our hearts with Krishna in the center. And what is the opposite of unity? Quarrel. Quarrel means disunity. Quarrel means you have your idea and I have my idea. And we do not agree, we clash. Disunity. So quarrel destroys love. And hypocrisy destroys trust. Because if you think that your friend or that your godbrother is a hypocrite, that he's saying one thing but doing another, you cannot trust him. There's always suspicion. Why is he doing like this? What is he doing? What is his motive? This suspicion creates no trust. So try to understand, quarrel and hypocrisy are the enemies of love and trust. Love and trust is the qualities of Vaikuntha, those who are in spiritual consciousness. And quarrel and hypocrisy is the qualities of the age of Kali, the age of irreligion and degradation. As long as Guru Seva is first in our life and first amongst us, Kali is helpless. Just like in the empire of Maharaj Parikshit, even though Kali had all his strength, he had nowhere to go. He said, "Maharaj Parikshit, as long as you're king, I have nowhere to go. These vices do not exist." So similarly, as long as we are in the spirit of Maharaj Parikshit, Maharaj Parikshit was like the king. The king in many ways is like Guru, because he's representing God. Just like the Guru is representing God, the king is also the administrative representative of God within the society. And the king was always getting his direction from the pure devotees of the Lord, from the sadhus, from the gurus. Therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was simply administrating the word and the order of Guru in the world. And because he was so powerful and he was so pure as the humble servant of the great Paramhamsas, therefore, everyone was united in the service of Maharaj Parikshit. Everyone was obediently following his instruction. Everyone had love and trust for him. And therefore they had love and trust for one another. This is what it means. Prabhupada said, "You can show your love for me by how you cooperate." Because they love Maharaj Parikshit, they were all willing to cooperate. The whole society, the whole world Therefore, Kali had nowhere to go. There was nowhere to create quarrel and hypocrisy. So similarly, as long as Krishna is in the center, as long as the order of Guru is between us, Kali cannot come. Kali is powerless to create any disturbance. But as soon as there is some selfish interest, as soon as we put Guru Seva second to something else, immediately Kali is right there to create quarrel and hypocrisy. Right there to disturb this sweet relationship of love and trust that we are trying to establish, trying to develop. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that one must make the order of Guru his life and soul. If you make the order of Guru your life and soul, then there's no room in your heart for anything else or anyone else. But as long as we have some other desires to be fulfilled in life, then to that extent, we are the servants of Kali. And we are very vulnerable to his very, very mischievous ways. So therefore, the unity of the devotees is transcendental, is spiritual. And it is not subjective to what we find here. Mohini Murti, she appeared in such a way just to attract the senses of the demons. Because Krishna is very expert. The name Krishna indicates that he is all attractive. Krishna can, by his beautiful features, he can attract our minds completely away from all the powers of material existence, all the attachments of material life. Just like Rupa Goswami has said, if you are attached to your family, society, and love, do not look upon the beautiful threefold bending form of Govinda, who is standing on bank of Jamuna with the full moon glistening upon his lotus lips. Because you will lose all your attraction for all the mortal things of this world. So Krishna is attracting our minds away from all material life. Madan Mohan, Cupid is conquering us, but Krishna attracts the mind even of Cupid and attracts the minds of all those who approach him from the arrows of Cupid. But at the same time, through Maya, the same thing is taking place. Maya is trying to attract our minds away from Krishna. Right? A devotee is struggling to be Krishna conscious, and Maya is constantly throwing so many impediments by appearing in so many very, very extravagantly beautiful forms, tempting forms, saying, come to me, come to me. But Krishna says that I am the beauty of the beautiful, I am the intelligence of the intelligent. All the qualities that Maya is attracting us with, they are all ultimately Krishna's. So on one side, through Maya, Krishna is trying to attract us away from him. And on the other side, in his personal form, he is inviting us to allow our minds to be attracted away from Maya and toward him. We are the marginal potency. Maya is attracting us on one side, Krishna is attracting us on the other side. Maya is trying to take us away from Krishna. Krishna is trying to attract us away from Maya. Huh? The question is, what do you want? If you want Maya, Maya will very expertly attract you in such a way that you will leave Krishna behind. And if you want service, then Krishna will so kindly attract your mind completely away from Maya and put you in a transcendental position. So this is our decision. What do we want in life? Ultimately, Krishna fulfills all of our desires. As you surrender unto him, he will reward you accordingly. So let us very much concentrate on keeping Krishna as the center of our life. Krishna in the center of our life. Service to Guru Maharaj as the motivation and the object of all of our concerns in life. And in this way, if we very sincerely strive in this regard, then the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath will attract our minds away from all of the illusions of this material world. But if we do not fix our consciousness with resolute purpose and determination in the service to Guru, then we will find that through the agency of Maya, our minds will be attracted to the glittering forms of this material existence and attract our minds away from Krishna. And gradually we will drift further and further and further and further away from the Supreme Lord. So this is our choice. Therefore, our Guru Maharaj would always plead with us, take this Krishna consciousness movement very seriously. Krishna consciousness means to put Krishna in the center of everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. Then there is no danger. As long as Krishna is in the center, there is no danger. As long as anything else is in the center of our ambitions in life, then there is only danger. There's danger all around, on all sides. Thank you very much.